أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر ولا إله غيرك الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
ابھی دار العلوم شمس العلوم کا چندہ ہے، تمام حضرات سے گزارش کی جاتی ہے کہ وہ اپنے زکاة صدقات اللہ سے تعاون کر کے جائے. انشاءاللہ تعالی after the remaining دعا there will be a talk in the English language. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. ولا معطي الا منعته، اللهم اعنا على ذكرك ومرات الموت وسكرات الموت قنا عذابك، اللهم اشف ونظر عن مرضى المؤمنين وارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين، اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واعف عنا، اللهم قنا عذابك يوم تبعث عبادك، اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الاخره، ربنا احمل لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين وجنة المتقين رحمك، لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا ظالمين، يا أحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد، اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسألة القصر المبارك، واجعل اللهم أمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلاد المسلمين، اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذ من خذل الدين، اللهم آمنا في أوطاننا، اللهم لا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا ولا رحمنا ولا خوفنا، اللهم لا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنسي من حسن، اللهم طهن قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وسلمك، وعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خوانة العين وتخفي الصدور، اللهم إنا نسألك الخير كله ونعوذ بك من الشر كله ونسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار وسلم برحمتك يا أرحم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم اما بعد after completing the talk yesterday when I was walking off towards the right side of the hall a few youngsters approached me and reminded me of a point I mentioned I will continue on with. The only reason for why I impart these short talks is because alhamdulillah there are those few individuals around who do not only benefit themselves but also benefit others. It's more than possible many of us may think that these discussions may not be too relevant. But alhamdulillah, youngsters here walk away with the correct message. And alongside that, many of those who listen over eMasjid Live and over the receiver, they are also able to align the concepts with the correct understanding of the Sharia. In yesterday's talk, I mentioned that when on the fourth occasion, the companions alayhim ridwan flooded the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and awaited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to emerge and lead them within the Taraweeh prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not do so. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam thereafter came and led the Fajr prayer, after which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then mentioned to the companions alayhim ridwan the reason for why he never emerged like he did three times prior to that. The reason the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned was that khashitu an tufrada alaykum. I had a fear that this Taraweeh prayer would be made obligatory and mandatory upon yourselves. This statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a very important statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The reason for this is that once it comes to Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an, many a people have this question that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stopped leading the Taraweeh prayer in congregation and the companions alayhim ridwan thereafter started to perform the Taraweeh prayer alone within their homes, why did Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an then come out and gather all the companions alayhim ridwan and again then make them perform the Taraweeh prayer within the congregation? Why did he not leave it as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam left it? Why did he then return back to the initial practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? My brothers, Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an was not any ordinary companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as many people may make it seem in this day and age. The caliber of Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an in many aspects was unparalleled even once it came to Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala an. We all know that when one person has a partial virtue, that partial virtue will not necessitate he is better than another person overall. For example, if I am able to hoover the masjid properly and another brother is not able to hoover the masjid properly, but once it comes to the knowledge of the deen of Islam, his acquisition of it, his impartation of it, his propagation of it is A star, and all the other aspects of his life are also grade A, no one will say that due to this partial virtue of Saifuddin over the other brother, this makes Saifuddin greater than the other brother. In a similar manner, once it comes to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, overall the greatest within them was none other than Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala an. He was literally unparalleled overall as a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But yes, once we look at particular aspects of the lives of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is more than possible that a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam possesses a single virtue in a manner it was not possessed by Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala an. For example, once it comes to courageousness, then Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an was the most superior within all the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was the apparent reason for why the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam alongside the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam started to perform salah within the open. Until he never accepted Islam, then this courage was not built within the Muslims to stand within the public and perform prayer before the masses, and in a manner it is visible to even the enemies of Islam. So Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, my brothers, has a great caliber. He is not like I mentioned people make him out to be in this day and age. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, لَوْ كَانَ بَعْدِي نَبِيٌّ لَكَانَ عُمَرْ. If the door of prophethood was to remain open after myself, then Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu would have been the prophet after myself. Now a great statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have some who overlook the authenticity of this hadith because they are unable to logically comprehend the implications of this hadith. Some, once they come across this hadith, they say that the greatest after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and all the prophets of Allah ta'ala was none other than Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala an. If this is the case, then how could the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam have mentioned that if the door of prophethood remained open after myself, then Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu would have been next in line? So many overlook the authenticity of this hadith due to this point that comes to their mind. My brothers, the reality of the matter is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is highlighting a pattern of Allah Ta'ala once it comes to sending prophets into this world. And it reminds me, last Ramadan, I mentioned this hadith within our masjid building. And I said, I'll give you time to think about this. So many brothers approached me later on and said, where's the answer? I said, continue to wait. So I'm going to give the answer today. Within this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is highlighting a pattern by which Allah Ta'ala sends prophets into this world. And the pattern is that Allah Ta'ala sends the prophets into the world in a sequence. First, He will send a prophet whose might overcomes his beauty. And that will then follow a prophet whose beauty overcomes his might. We look towards Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, a very mightiful prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no need to go further. We look towards the glorious Quran and Allah Ta'ala mentions an incident in which فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ. Due to some reason, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam punched another person, and that then led to the demise of that person. He was a very mightiful prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now considering that sequence of Allah Ta'ala, the next prophet to come should be a prophet whose beauty overcomes his might. And that was none but Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was kind. He was gentle. He was affectionate. He was subtle. He never bothered anyone. People inconvenienced him. Allah Ta'ala made ways for him. He never did anything himself. He knew the Jews were at his throat. They were trying to take his life. But he continued on. It was barrafa'ahu Allahu ilayh, the intervention of Allah Ta'ala that saved Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So due to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's beauty overcoming his might, this falls in line with the sequence of Allah Ta'ala by which he sends prophets into the world, due to which Isa alayhi salatu wasalam followed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam as a prophet of Allah Ta'ala. After Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam into the world. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a perfect balance between might and beauty. We look towards many incidents that occurred within the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we come to conclude that these are all manifestations of the perfect balance the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had between his might and his beauty. I will mention one such occurrence, and this will help us a little later on within the same talk. Upon an occasion, during the night time, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu's method was that when he would recite during the night prayer, when everyone was asleep, he would recite softly. He wouldn't recite in a manner it was audible to those around him who were sleeping. In other words, he used to recite during his night prayer in a manner we recite within the Dhuhr and the Asr prayer. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the total opposite. He used to recite aloud during the night prayer in order for those around him to be able to hear his recitation within his prayer. Once the two became aware of the difference in the approaches of the two, they both then took their case to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to decide who is correct and who is incorrect. Who has the better of ways from amongst the two noble companions of his? So when they presented the actions of both of them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed them that don't read too loud nor read too softly. Read in a moderate manner. Why? Because this was the moderation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once he came to his perfect balance between his might and his beauty. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came after Isa alaihi salatu wasalam. Due to him having a perfect balance between might and beauty, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't count. So we have Musa alaihi salatu wasalam, whose might overcame his beauty. Then Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, whose beauty overcame his might. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a perfect balance between the two. Therefore, he does not count. This now means, considering this same sequence of Allah Ta'ala, if a prophet was to appear after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it should be a prophet whose might overcomes his beauty. That is not Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala an, rather that is Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an. So this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is totally logical. Let me mention an additional point to this. Once it comes to our prayers, we have the Fajr, Maghrib and Isha prayers in which we recite audibly. The Imam recites in a manner the followers can hear him. Contrary to this, we have the Dhuhr and Asr prayers in which the Imam recites softly in a manner those behind cannot hear him. When we normally dig into the reasoning behind this, that why are all the prayers not audible, or why are all the prayers not prayers in which we recite softly? Why do we have three in which we recite loudly and two in which we recite softly? The usual answer we are given is that once it came to the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the Muslims were at constant fear of an attack of the enemies of Islam. Therefore, once it came to the day prayers, then they wouldn't recite aloud. Why? Because if the enemies of Islam heard them, they would take the opportunity to attack them. And during the night, when the enemies of Islam were asleep, the Muslims used to recite aloud. Why? Because there was no fear of any attack of the enemies of Islam. This is the explanation that is usually mentioned. When people take this explanation on board, they say, well, if that was the reason no longer applies in our masjid. Because when we read, we aren't at fear of any attack, and when we recite within our prayer, we hear it within the masjid, no one hears it outside the masjid. So if this is the reason, then all our prayers should become audible. Why do we still have prayers in which we recite softly? My brothers, pay attention to the answer. It relates to the earlier answer. The answer is that during the day, the sun is shining. The sun shining is a manifestation of Allah Ta'ala's might. And when Allah Ta'ala's might is on display, then it only befits us to recite softly. So Dhuhr and Asr, when the sun is out, Allah Ta'ala's power and Allah Ta'ala's might is on display, we recite softly. But during the night, when the sun is not shining, Allah Ta'ala's beauty is now on display. Now it befits that we raise our voice a little and we supplicate to Allah Ta'ala. The example of this is, when a child walks into his home and he realizes that Papaji is very, very angry today, then he won't go to his father and say, Papaji, give me 10 pounds. He knows he's going to get a slap in return of this. But when he walks in and he knows his dad's calm, he's relaxed, he's chilling, so then he'll go to his father, he'll raise his voice a little and he'll say that, please can you give me something? The إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ followed by إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ our supplication. During the day is in a soft voice because Allah Ta'ala's might is on display, as we can understand through the shining of the sun. And during the night, when the sun is not shining and Allah Ta'ala's beauty is on display, at that time we raise our voice and we say, إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ Allah Ta'ala show us the correct path. In recent times, we had a leader of a country. I'm not going to mention him by name. I can say so-called Muslim. It's not a political game here. I'll say so-called Muslim. And his understanding, my brothers, was that, you know, when we recite the Quran, we don't recite the qul in the Quran. You take all the quls out. So he used to come to prayer, not qul ya ayyuhal kafirun, he used to say ya ayyuhal kafirun. Not qul huwa Allahu ahad, he used to say Allahu ahad, huwa Allahu ahad. This was his method. And when he was questioned why, he mentioned that qul is Allah Ta'ala instructing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Seems like this is a kafir. Chalo, it's gone, okay. Normally people do, dekho, normally people have indigestions once it comes to my bayans. Even the mic's going today. Chalo. Okay, I think it's allergic to my clothes. Theek hai na, my clothes are green. I don't know what indication it's giving. Theek hai. So his explanation was that qul is an instruction from Allah Ta'ala to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that all messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to the masses. But when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is no longer in between, now we can directly say ya ayyuhal kafirun. Allah Ta'ala addresses us without the means of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers, the reason for why I'm mentioning this is that in this day and age, we've got all sorts of learned people out there. All sorts. I'll mention you one incident. They're all learned upon the name of knowledge. Well, ek din ek peer sahab the. I'm sure the English speaking will understand. Peer sahab equals someone who eats loads of kheer sahab. Theek hai na? To ek peer sahab the. To unke muridin unke aas paas baithe hue the. Aur मुरीदीन ने देखा कि आज पीर साहब हमें नमाज का हुक्म दे रहे हैं लेकिन खुद नमाज के लिए जा नहीं रहे. फिर उन्होंने पीर साहब के घर वालों से पूछा कि क्या ये घर पे नमाज अदा करते हैं, मुमकिन है कि इनका कोई उजर हो शरीयत में. तो घर वालों ने बताया कि चंद दिन हुए हैं कि पीर साहब की नमाज ही खत्म हो गई है, पीर साहब नमाज की छुट्टी पे है. तो मुरीदों ने सोचा कि ये क्या माजरा है. सो इन द बिगिनिंग दे नेवर प्लक्ड अप द करेज टू आस्क हिम दैट पीर साहब नो नमाज एनी मोर. तो एक दो हफ्ते गुजरे तो उनमें वो जुरअत आई. तो एक दिन उन्होंने पीर साहब से पूछा कि नमाज का हुक्म आप हमें दे रहे हो, आपकी नमाज कहाँ है, आपके घर वालों ने हमें बता दिया कि आप खुद नमाज पढ़ते नहीं, ये क्या हुआ है. तो पीर साहब ने कहा कि असल में मैं आपको बताना नहीं चाह रहा था, लेकिन चूंकि आपने मुझसे पूछ लिया तो मैं आपको बता देता हूँ कि एक रात को मुझे जिब्राईल अलैहिस्सलाम की आवाज़ सुनाई दी और जिब्राईल अलैहिस्सलाम मुझे बता रहे थे कि पीर साहब आप उस मकाम पर फाइज हो चुके हो कि अब आपको नमाजों की ज़रूरत नहीं. तो पीर साहब ये नकल कर रहे थे जिब्राईल अलैहिस्सलाम की बात को कि मुरीदीन में से एक मुरीद ऊंची आवाज में हंस पड़ा. तो पीर साहब गुस्से हो गए कि नालायक, मैं उस मकाम पर फाइज हो चुका हूं कि मेरी नमाज मुआफ हो चुकी है और आप मेरी मजलिस में बैठ करके कहकहे लगा रहे हो. तो उस मुरीद ने कहा कि पीर जी, वो जिब्राइल नहीं थे, वो मैं मस्ती कर रहा था आपके साथ. समझे ना. तो आजकल के पीर ऐसे होते हैं, अगर किसी की नमाज मुआफ होती तो किसकी होती? नबी पाक सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम की. लेकिन नबी पाक सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम मैदान जंग में भी नमाज अदा कर रहे हैं और ये लोग अपनी खानकाहों में बैठ करके नमाजें मुआफ करवा रहे हैं. चलो एक और भी आपको किस्सा बता दूं. I'll say this one in the English language, ठीक है ना? अबू सुफियान will like it, इंशाअल्लाह. कभी हंसी मजाक भी होनी चाहिए. अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह, I was honored with the privilege to spend some time in the company of Hakim Akhtar Nawarallahu Marqadahu. हमने शायद उनका नाम सुना होगा. वो इस जमाने के वली थे. लेकिन अफसोस की बात यह है कि मैं उस वक्त उनके यहाँ हाजिर हुआ جب وہ صاحب فراش تھے تو اس زمانے میں لوگوں کے آس پاس حاضر ہوتے تھے اور ریکارڈنگ کے لیے مجلس کے لیے ان کی ریکارڈنگ لگائی جاتی تھی. بس مجلس کے اختتام پر وہ مائک لے کر کے فرمایا کرتے تھے السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ, لوگ سلام کا جواب دے کر پھر واپس اپنے کمروں میں چلے جایا کرتے تھے. تو وائی ایم آئی مینشننگ, ہاں تو الحمدللہ ان کی صحبت مجھے ملی. تو ان کے یہاں جب وہ صحت مند تھے, when he was healthy, during his lifetime, every day after the Asr prayer, they used to have a joke session. Jokes. Now people think, yaar, what's this jokes? He used to have a joke session for those people who were depressed, for those people who were stressed. And they used to come into his gathering and people used to crack jokes and they used to walk away like nothing ever happened to them. یہ بھی شریعت کا ایک جز ہے, لیکن ہم نے اپنے اسلام کو اتنا خشک بنا رکھا ہے کہ جو مسلمان ہے وہ بھی تھک چکے ہیں, یہ کون سا دین ہے, اور وہ بھاگنے کی کوشش میں ہے. آج کل کا معاشرہ تو کیسے کہ مسجد میں آئیں گے, گپ شپ لگائیں گے, لیٹ بھی جائیں گے, مزے کریں گے, چائے شائے پیئیں گے, کھانا سب کچھ ہوگا, لیکن پیر صاحب داخل ہوں گے تو بس التحیات پوزیشن میں آ جائیں گے ہم. اللہ تو تھا پہلے, اس وقت بھی, بعد میں بھی ہے, اللہ کے لیے کچھ نہیں, پیر صاحب آئے تو سب کچھ بدل گیا. جب نوجوان یہ سب فارمیلٹیز دیکھتے ہیں نا, وہ یہ سوچ کون سا دین ہے, انہوں نے تو پیر کو خدا بنا رکھا ہے. آداب ہے بالکل, the etiquettes within Islam. But my brothers, there's a level to etiquettes. We've got those people who go to graves and they prostrate before the deceased within the graves. They go to graves and they circulate graves like people circulate the Kaaba within Makkah al-Mukarramah. You've got people who go to the elders and whilst kissing their feet, they prostrate before them. Why has all this happened? Because we've not kept in mind that yes, we revere this person because he has become a means of connecting me to my Lord, but this person is not my Lord himself. Once he came to the Christians, what mistake did they make? They took the means as their destination. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam ko khuda bana diya. Sajda waha nahi, sajda bhi yaha ho raha hai. And once he comes to us, my brothers, we've done exactly the same. We will never say, Allah ke fazal se kuch hua, Allah ke raham se kuch hua. Whereas the Quran says, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ وَرَحْمَتُهُ, if it wasn't for the grace and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala upon the companions, مَا زَكَى مِنْكُم مِّنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا, none of them would have ever become spiritually purified. You know, our tablighi brothers say that karne wali zat Allah ki hai, no one believes this. Yes, they will say to us, mashallah, paracetamol doesn't cure you, Allah cures you. But once it comes to people like me who don't get the opportunity to go out into tabligh, I'll say to my wife at home that, get me a paracetamol. Why? Because it'll cure my headache. Yeh kaun sa iman hai? We've literally gone so distant from Allah Ta'ala. Anyway, theek hai, hum Ramadan mein gumrah ho gaye. Gumrah means that we've deviated from the path that we were treading. Let me come all the way back. ٹھیک ہے نا, سو لیٹس گو آل دی وے بیک. سو آئی واز مینشننگ, یو نو, لو کان بعدی نبی لکان عمر, دس از دا کالیبر آف عمر رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ. دا پروفیٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم مینشن دیٹ ان پریویس نیشنز دیر ور انڈیویجولز ہو ور ڈائریکٹلی انسپائرڈ بائی اللہ تعالی ایون دو دی ورنٹ پروفیٹس. اف دیر از اینی سچ پرسن ود ان مائی نیشن, دین اٹ از نان ادر دین عمر رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ. We have approximately 22 verses within the glorious Quran that were revealed in line with the understanding of Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. There's no time to give examples. But the point I'm trying to make, my brothers, is that Umar radiallahu ta'ala an is an extraordinary companion. His vision was so great and he could see so far that no other companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had that same vision. So I was mentioning that Alhamdulillah, some brothers benefit. So some youngsters came and they said that you were mentioning a point. Let's come back to the point. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never led the Taraweeh prayer on the fourth instance, and after leading the companions in the Fajr prayer told them, the reason for why I never led you in congregation again was khashitu an tufrada alaykum. I had a fear that Allah Ta'ala would make the Taraweeh prayer mandatory and obligatory upon yourselves. Many people say that when the Prophet left it like that, there was no congregation within the masjid. Why did Umar radiallahu ta'ala and come about years later after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and instruct the companions to again congregate and perform the Taraweeh prayer within the masjid? My brothers, the answer is what I have given. Umar radiallahu ta'ala an ki nigaah waha tak pahunchti thi jaha tak kisi ki pahunch nahi paati. And I normally say to people, there wasn't a problem with the understanding of Umar radiallahu anh. There's a problem with your understanding. Yes, they say, this scholar said this, he must be right. I'll give you an example. They'll say, Ibn Taymiyyah said this, he must be right. Albani graded a hadith in such a manner, he must be right. Sheikh Uthaymeen mentioned this, he must be right. And once it comes to Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, no, Umar radiallahu anhu was wrong. Who was Umar radiallahu anhu? His insight was that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned a reason behind why the congregational Taraweeh prayer never continued in the masjid, it means the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam from within wanted this action to continue. That's the only reason he gave. That's the only reason for why he mentioned a reason behind this. If he didn't want it to continue, he would have said, "That's the way it's. That's the way it is. It's finished." No, he mentioned the reason, and the reason was, if we continued on for the fourth time, this act is so beloved to Allah Ta'ala, I fear Allah Ta'ala would have made this obligatory. Umar radiallahu anhu realized that there is no possibility of this now becoming obligatory. Why? Something becomes obligatory through the means of revelation. Revelation comes upon the Prophet of Allah Ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the final Prophet of Allah Ta'ala. No revelation can now come due to which this act will become obligatory. Let's now bring it back into congregation within the masjid. This was the inner desire of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And my brothers, this was the reason for why the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never objected upon this. Every one of them agreed with this, and this again then became the norm from this time of Umar radiallahu an. Another point just came to my mind and it's already gone. Okay, so I'll leave it, we'll continue. If it comes, then it comes again. So all the companions trusted him, my brothers. So what our these brothers now says, that we trust Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu regarding the nights, the entire month of Ramadan with congregation in the masjid. We say, if you do so, then why not trust him regarding the units? And if you are going to trust him regarding the units like we do, then we trust the entire package. If someone comes to me, and they give me some information from Mawli Ismail Sab, and I take half on board and reject the remainder of it, do people not have the right to object upon me and say, Saifuddin, if he's not trustworthy, then leave both components of his speech. And if he's trustworthy, take both of them on board. What's this? You take half and you leave half. The Jews used to do this. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضُ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضُ. So we say the same thing. That if you trust Umar radiallahu anhu and the companions to take the entire month of Ramadan in congregation within the masjid from them and from him, then why not trust him regarding the units of the prayer as well? And if you aren't going to trust him regarding the units of the prayer, then leave the remainder of your trust and perform Taraweeh prayer in congregation in the masjid only 3 nights every month of Ramadan. Now we continue on. That hadith I was alluding towards, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was posed with a question. And the question was, كَيْفَ كَانَ صَلَاتُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي رَمَضَانِ. How was the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam during the month of Ramadan? Now, before I go on to the response of Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, please pay attention to this point I'm about to mention. The question, a question regarding kayf, the quality of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's night prayer. The question never related to kam, the units of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's night prayer. I hope I'm making sense. If someone comes to me and they question me regarding Mawlana Ismail Saab's Fajr prayer, Allah bless him even further, and they were to question me by saying that how is his prayer? Now when I give an answer, I'm going to highlight the quality of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's prayer. If anyone wants to take anything from my statement and relate it to Mawlana Ismail Saab's Fajr prayer, then they should take the quality of Mawlana Ismail Saab's prayer I mentioned. And if someone comes and they say that how many units did he lead within the Fajr prayer, I will then give an answer regarding the number of units that a person at that time should take an evidence regarding the units of the Fajr prayer from that, not primarily regarding the quality of Mawlana Ismail Saab's Fajr prayer through that. So the questioner is questioning Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, not regarding the quantity of the units of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's night Ramadan prayer. She is questioning regarding the quality, the modality and the kayfiyah of the night prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam during the month of Ramadan. Through this within itself we understand, agar dalil pakarni hai, to sifate salat ki pakaro, rakaat ki na pakaro. Through this within itself we understand, if you want to take an evidence regard from the response of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, take it regarding the quality of the Prophet's night prayer in the month of Ramadan. Don't take it regarding the quantity of units of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam of his night prayer of Ramadan. So this is the fundamental mistake people make, that when the question related to quality, they should be taking the quality from it primarily, and they only use it for the quantity of the units. The quality isn't even found within the prayers as described by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. How did Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha respond? She mentioned, مَا كَانَ يَزِيدُ فِي رَمَضَانَ وَلَا فِي غَيْرِهَا عَلَىٰ إِحْدَى عَشَرَ رَكَعَةً. Whether it was within the month of Ramadan or outside the month of Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would not exceed 11 units of prayer. Kha wo Ramadan ka mahina hota, ya wo Ramadan ke bahir hota, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam ki raat ki namaz 11 rakaaton se kabhi bharti nahi thi. Now this is the main portion of the hadith our brothers use, and they cause riots. They go around on social media. They say, look, when the Prophet never did it, why are you guys doing it? They'll come to our youngsters. They'll say that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam never did it, why do you Hanafis do it? Hanafis. There's no time to discuss this. Yes. Ji. Abhi main aapko batane wala hu. Hum saath saath mein chalte hain, inshallah. Theek hai na? Maza to aa raha hai na? زبردست ساتھ ساتھ میں چلتے ہیں ٹھیک ہے نا افطار بھی ساتھ ساتھ میں کوئی کرا لے تو اچھا ہوتا لیکن افطار سے پہلے چھوڑ ہی دیتے ہیں مجھے چلے سو دی یوز دس ناؤ لیٹس انڈرسٹینڈ دس حدیث پراپرلی مائی برادرز ونس اٹ کمز ٹو دس فرسٹ پارٹ وی کم ٹو انڈرسٹینڈ دیٹ عائشہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہا از ریسپونڈنگ ریگارڈنگ اے پریئر that is performed not only fi Ramadan, in the month of Ramadan, wala fi ghayriha, she's discussing a prayer that is also relevant outside the month of Ramadan. So those people who say that this is the Taraweeh prayer, it's 11 units maximum, you can't go to 20, we'll say to them, if you are adamant that this relates to the Taraweeh prayer, Then Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is mentioning, this is not only found fi Ramadan, in the month of Ramadan, wala fi ghayriha, it's also found outside the month of Ramadan. You should be performing tarawih, we pray outside the month of Ramadan as well. What have you done? She's mentioning tarawih according to your understanding throughout the entire year. You restrict it to 1 month, the remainder of the 11 months, you don't even perform this tarawih prayer. This is the first indication to indicate towards the response of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha relating to the tahajjud prayer that is performed both inside the month of Ramadan and outside the month of Ramadan. It doesn't relate to the tarawih prayer that is only performed within the month of Ramadan. अब एक मजे की बात मैं आपको बताऊं, and I'm going to finish now, ठीक है ना? अभी टाइम होने वाला है ना? बिल्कुल होने वाला है. Allah bless the elder, he's probably in his 90s, yes? And you know, once he comes to people like me, I can hardly come to the masjid. We should learn lessons of people like him. मौलवी इस्माइल साहब का आज मुझे ऑडियो मैसेज आया कि खातून है हॉस्पिटल में, 82 years उसकी है, और डॉक्टर्स ने उसे दवा दे रखी है कि आपने ये दवा इस वक्त में खानी है. तो मौलवी इस्माइल साहब ने मुझे बताया कि वक्त आया उसे बताने का कि दवा ले लो. वो ये मुझे बता रही है कि नहीं, मैंने रोजा रखा हुआ है, मैं तो दवा नहीं लेने वाली. मगर की बात तो लेगी, हम भी लेंगे इंशाल्लाह. लेकिन द पॉइंट आई एम ट्राइंग टू मेक इज, माई ब्रदर्स, वॉट एक्सक्यूज डू वी हैव? यस, the pious predecessors were trying to find excuses to practice, and we find all the excuses we can, and they all made up ones in order to abstain from practice. Bas choti choti baat aati hai na, to wo namaz nahi ho rahi aur roza bhi mushkil ho gaya, aur hum ab se fidya dene wale hai puri umar ka, ab se in advance. ये भी नहीं कि चलो ये रमजान खत्म होगा तो इस रमजान के लिए हम दे देंगे, यूं लग रहा है कि आगे हम कभी रोजा नहीं रख पाएंगे. लेकिन कम अज कम आप इस नीयत से आगे का फिदिया न दो कि अल्लाह ताला इस नीयत की बरकत से मुझे सेहत याबी नसीब फरमा दे. लेकिन हमारे जहने से चलते हैं ही नहीं, हम एडवांस में दे देते हैं. अगरचे मैं 70 की उम्र में मरने वाला हूं ना, मैं ये कहूंगा इफ आई लिव 100 years फिदिया ही ठीक है नाउ. Now, 11 units, tahajjud prayer. Where's this 11? What's the logic behind it? This tahajjud prayer is a night prayer. This equates the obligatory units during the day to make them equal. During the day, we have the dhuhr, asr, and will include maghrib. Why? Because it's sort of borderline. So, 4 obligatory units for the dhuhr prayer. 4 for the Asr prayer. 4 plus 4 is? Ji? Mujhe to calculator nikalna padega. 8. Hamare zehno mein yahi hai na ke imam to waise hi hote hain, kuch aata wata hai hi nahi. Allah ke fazal se bare bare log bhi sunte hai. Theek na? Aapke aima aise na ke Moli Ismail sahab ki tarah bahut tawazun mein hai. Lekin Allah ne unko bahut nawaza hai. Main to alag makhlooq hu, wo to alag baat hai. To 8 ho gaye na? Then 3 obligatory units for the Maghrib prayer. 8 plus 3 equals 11. So we've got 11 obligatory during the day. To make the voluntary prayer during the night match that quantity, we have 11 normally during the night as well. Then Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, before mentioning the remainder of her response tomorrow, just 2 more points. This prayer Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is mentioning of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a prayer the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed at home, not in the masjid. If it was in the masjid, would the question even question regarding it? No, why? Because everyone would know. Mawla Ismail sahib, masjid mein bhi namaz ada karte hai, ghar mein bhi namaz ada karte hai. To kya hum mein se koi masjid ki namaz ke baare mein poochega ke kitni rakaat hai? Nahi, kyun? Isliye ke hum khud dekh rahe hai. वो घर वाली के बारे, घर वाली उस माने में नहीं, यानी घर वाली नमाज के बारे में हम पूछेंगे कि कितनी रकातें बनती थी. सो दिस प्रेयर ऑफ द प्रॉफिट हजरत आयशा रदियल्लाहु तआला अन्हा इज मेंशनिंग इज अ प्रेयर द प्रॉफिट सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम परफॉर्मड एट होम, एंड व्हेन इट वाज एट होम, इट वाज नॉट विद इन कॉन्ग्रीगेशन एज वेल. वी से बिस्मिल्लाह, मेक योर तरावीह लाइक दिस, देन परफॉर्म योर तरावीह एट होम, perform it individually, they say, no, in the masjid with congregation, we say, yaar, what's going on? You're saying it relates to the tarawih prayer, but you're doing everything opposite to this. تو پھر حضرت عائشہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ کا جواب جب آگے جاتا ہے نا تو اور بھی قرارہ بن جاتا ہے لوگوں کے لیے. So the reason I'm mentioning this, my brothers, alhamdulillah, we have an abundance of evidences. Those guys out there, they read one hadith, they just about read its translation without knowing the Arabic language, and they become the muhaddith of the time. And they'll go around explaining to everyone, my brothers, your a'imma who are within this masjid, Moli Ismail Saab, Moli Hussein Saab, Moli Riyaz Saab, Mufti Suleiman Pando, Moli Abdullah Mayat, and the list goes on. We've got young ulama here. They spent 10 years of their life studying. They don't need to look towards translations. They can take direct from the Arabic. So those guys who deceive you, it's because they lack knowledge. Those with knowledge can point minor things and major things from these ahadith through which we understand. They don't even relate to the tarawih prayer. Rather, this hadith relates to the tahajjud prayer. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to perform 20 units of tarawih prayer throughout our entire lifetime. And may Allah Ta'ala allow us to stand with the pleasure that comes about through a means of this within His court. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.